Blog Talk Radio.
I think we've got music coming. Here it comes. I'm going to be very... And I just can't start the show without our Social Geek Radio introduction song. AK, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How else would I dance before the show if we didn't have the song?
I agree. And this is Deb Evans, in case anybody's tuned in and they don't know, who are these two crazy gals that are on Social Geek Radio playing that really funky song, which, you know, it just gets us in the mood. It is cool. Yeah. So, AK, I'm going to start tonight with, we have a question from a listener, from one of our very loyal listeners that sent me a note, and I just thought it's something that I really needed to read to you tonight. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay. It says, AK and Deb, I love Social Geek Radio. I've applied many of your guest tips on how to design an online contest, blogging, and even downloaded the new app here on Biz. I love your guests and the Geek It Out at the end. I mean, who doesn't like the Geek It Out at the end?
I know it.
But here's something that just took me by a little surprise. She or he says, I'm curious, is this your full-time job? Are you public speakers? And if so, where can I find you? And one of the things that made me realize is that we love our guests, and we do a great intro with our guests, but I think there's a lot of folks out there who haven't a clue who we really are and what we do.
What makes us qualified to speak about these things?
Right. So, AK, I'm going to ask you, who are you, and what is it that you do?
Well, Deb, I am so glad that you asked. Well, I own a social media company called Saying It Social, and I basically do it all when it comes to social media. So I do consulting, I love to do training, and I do a whole bunch of sort of done-for-you type services. So anybody who needs help actually posting and monitoring and all of those things to their Facebook and their Twitter and their Pinterest and their LinkedIn, that's sort of something that I do. So, and I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of speaking engagements, going out in various places and giving people tips about these sort of things. So my latest one, which I'm thrilled to be talking about, is Pinterest for Business. So I've gotten a lot of speaking gigs recently because people are dying to know how best to use Pinterest for Business. So that's been very fun.
So why don't you go ahead and give us your contact information, as we always ask our guests. You know, what's the easiest way someone can find you and find more information about what you do?
Sure. Well, you can Google me, because AK South happens to be a not very common name. But in the interest of saving time for all of the various social media platforms that I am on, you can just go to aksouth.com. But I'm very, very active on my Twitter account, which may be one of the best ways to reach me on the go, which is at AKStout18, or LinkedIn, AKStout, or Google+, AKStout. So, you can really find me just by typing in AKStout, or AKStout18 is pretty much my constant handle, but my business accounts are all under Saying It Social. So facebook.com/sayingitsocial and so forth.
Right. And Saying It Social is your business based in Baltimore.
That's right.
Very good. And you are very social. And
I am very social.
Very social.
All right, Deb, you're up.
No, I'm up. So Deb Evans, very involved in franchising, and I do like to do speaking engagements. I like to help franchisors and franchisees with developing their social technology strategies. You can find me, probably just go to DebEvansConsulting.com. One of the things that I'm really pleased with is the last couple of months I've been working on a book called Developing Peak Performing Franchisees, which is really a how-to guide designed for franchisors to create breakthrough in franchisees' results, profitability, and franchisee-franchisor relations. Really not a lot of social media applications there, so it's another hat that I wear since I've been involved with franchising for the last 16-some years. One of the things I love is developing those franchisees and certain cultures and relationships. So I've been working hard on that and hoping that it's going to go to the publisher and be out via Amazon here maybe at the end of the month. But I have some sneak peek copies that I've been sharing with some franchisors. So and social media and the Social Geek Radio is just another one of my favorite things to do.
Very good.
Very good. So we have a guest tonight. So we're going to move right into introducing our guest. And I'm trying to remember how I end up finding him. But Ralph Katera is on the line with the Great Business Project. Ralph, it is so great to have you. And I'm trying to remember how I came, I'm sure it was through a social channel, that I came across you and just did one of those leaps of faith and just sent an email and said, I'd love to talk to you about being a guest on my show because I absolutely love your digital magazine.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor. And actually, Deb, I remember the first time you reached out to me and the first time I saw your tweet, you had sent me a tweet and it was like 5:30 in the morning or something on like a
yes,
Sunday morning. Don't know how that happened, but I remember you reaching out. You had seen the first issue of our magazine. I think it had something to do with our friend Mike Michalowicz.
Toilet paper guy.
Exactly. The toilet paper entrepreneur and the pumpkin plan. And we featured him on the cover of our first issue. And I think that's how we got to know each other. We started chatting, and over the last couple months, we've chatted a lot. And I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so AK, you now know, I mean, you've always known that I am the early bird. And Ralph this morning, so we were emailing again. Now, he's Eastern time, so, you know, it might be 5:30 my time, but it's, you know, the sun's up in his area. It's about 6:30. Yep. So not only were we emailing, but I walked away from my desk for a minute, and I missed a phone call from him. So, but I called him right back. So it's just like, wow, I've done all this office work. We've been so productive, but he cheated a little bit. He just made me really jealous because he was working, but he was also walking along the beach.
Which was very
okay.
Nice this morning.
Yes, and he shared that with me.
Yeah, it was nice. I have a knack for working on the beach. I recorded one of my latest podcast episodes on the beach, and that was a lot of fun, too.
It was awesome. I mean, I think we talked after that. It's like, really? The waves were... I could just picture him. I mean, because I've seen his profile, I've seen his pictures, so I can see him sitting in his chair at the beach, laid back a little bit. The waves are coming up. You know, it was just that... It was an awesome white noise to have in the background.
Well, thank you for that. And it was just like that. It was awesome to just be sitting there and working and having that kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go visit you. So tell us more about yourself and as the founder of the Great Business Project, and so that we can learn more about you and your organization.
Absolutely. So I'm what you would call a serial entrepreneur, and I know that there's people out there who say that a lot. But I think I was born to be an entrepreneur. I started my first business early on. I was 13 years old, and I started DJing private parties with two buddies of mine. And at 13, our very first party, my parents drove us in the back of a van with all this like made up gear that I took like part of my dad's stereo equipment and part of my aunt's stereo equipment and put this together and DJed a party, and we made $60. And we split it among three of us. So I ended up netting $20, but it was the happiest day of my life. And so ever since then, I've been looking for that entrepreneurial channel because I absolutely love it. Throughout school and all the DJ work really helped to pay for all my studies and put me through school. I ended up becoming a professional DJ and touring and working at international nightclubs. And then I went into the corporate world, which was a very good experience for me. It was an eye-opening experience. I learned a tremendous amount about business and the things that work in business and the things that didn't work in business. And as an entrepreneur, I always went a little bit against the grain and asking questions and questioning why are we doing this and why aren't we moving faster. But it really came together for my wife and I at the end of 2003. We were living in California. I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and I was responsible for their international sales department. And I was traveling about 85% of the time. My wife was home alone. We had our first son was already born. He was one, and my wife was pregnant with our second son. So I'll never forget it. It was a Wednesday night. I came home from that trip. And it was like a 14 or 15 day international trip. And my wife was crying and she said, I've had it. I was sick last night. The baby was throwing up. I had a stomach bug. I'm having to clean this up. I don't have my mom here. I don't have the support network that I need. I would really like to go back home to the East Coast. We're originally, born and raised here in Miami. And we stayed up most of the night chatting and we decided that very night that we were both going to quit our six-figure jobs. Actually, at that time, my wife was still working and moved back to Miami without having any clue as to what we were going to do. So we said that we weren't going to give notice at work until we sold the house, but I'm a firm believer that when something's meant to be, it's meant to be. Had the conversation Wednesday, listed the house Thursday, had two offers on Friday, and we gave notice on Monday and moved across the country, came back home, and that's when we started. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I decided to leverage the experience that I had gathered in the corporate world to start my own consulting firm. And we started with no customers, no clients, no revenue, and that was April of 2003. And in December of 2009, we sold that company, and we were doing $35 million at that point. And I learned so much along the way. If I learned a lot in corporate, I learned a lot being an entrepreneur. First, in corporate, the last lesson I learned is that I didn't want to work in corporate anymore. it's not for everybody. It's definitely not for me. But the experiences in corporate really helped me to build the kind of business that I was able to build. And after selling the company, we went off and started a series of other companies, and we can talk about that a little later. I have an app development company. But the reason I started the Great Business Project was to help entrepreneurs, to empower them to have a great business. Because I ran into a lot of roadblocks. I ran into a lot of walls along the way and a lot of grief and heartache. And there were great moments, too. But if I would have had somebody who was there before me and said, hey, look, you could do this and you can do that. And mind you, I had great mentors. But I want to be able to give back and be able to give entrepreneurs kind of the shortcuts, the cliff note version of what they need to do to be able to scale their businesses the way that I was able to.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you and your passion for helping entrepreneurs. And I picked this up listening to your podcast and reading the first and then the second, the digital magazine. I guess that's why I relate to you, because one of the things I love doing is helping entrepreneurs, but I'm in the franchise industry, is really helping those franchisees to build profitable businesses and to learn from the things that we've experienced ourselves. I was once a franchisee, and then I moved into the corporate office. So I can just hear that passion in your voice.
Yeah.
You just feel it.
Thank you. Well, we work very closely with a lot of entrepreneurs. We have coaching programs, and we do consulting, and we have mastermind groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the magazine for me is something that I've always wanted to do, and being able to launch my very first magazine in the entrepreneur niche and in that space, and to be able to give such relevant content back to entrepreneurs was absolutely great.
Yeah, so tell us more about the magazine itself. It's called the Great Business Project Magazine, correct?
It is, and, you know, if you've been around a newsstand, and I'm a huge magazine fan. I've been thumbing through magazines for as long as I can remember. I love reading them, collecting them, looking at them, and I've always wanted to have one, but it's very expensive. If you've ever looked into the cost of printing your own magazine and having circulation, and even in the digital realm, up until very recently, it was very expensive to produce a monthly magazine. Even a quarterly magazine was very expensive. So there were a lot of barriers to entry into that space. But, you know, what I found is that there wasn't a magazine for entrepreneurs. I mean, yes, there's Entrepreneur Magazine and there's Inc. And then on the other side, there's Forbes and Business Week. But I think that there's a huge divide between those kinds of publications. So there's one set of publications that's very good for the startup. They provide amazing value for somebody who's either looking to make the jump and start their own businesses, and it helps them with the kind of licenses they need and what kind of structure to set up in, whether it's a corporation or an LLC. And then on the other end of the spectrum is all these big, what I call corporate magazines, that are written by people who have never had entrepreneurial experience. And that's actually true for some of the entrepreneurial publications, where you can just read into it and know, wow, this person really doesn't have firsthand experience as to what an entrepreneur needs or what we actually go through on a day-to-day basis. And that's where I thought that there was a gap that I wanted to fill with the magazine.
Right. And yeah, the content that you have, I sit and I will tell you that I think there's only two digital magazines that I've got on my iPad, and that's what I love. It's like, I can read this on my iPad. I can read this on my iPad that's positioned. I wish I had a fit desk that AK uses all the time, and that's a whole other blog post and conversation. But I had to rig something up on my treadmill so that I could position the iPad so that I could open up this digital magazine, listen to the videos that you have embedded there, watch the interviews and be able to flip through the pages. It is so user friendly.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the beauties of this magazine, right? The magazine experience is always nice, the feel of a glossy magazine, picking it up, thumbing through it. But there was always something missing. And even in the traditional publications that have made their leap onto the iPad, there's a big hole in the kind of content that they produce. You have this great, amazing piece of technology that's so advanced that allows you to do audio and allows you to do video and multimedia and animation, yet most of those publications are missing the boat. They're not taking advantage of it. So what we did with our magazine is we started to look at how we could use the device. So the Great Business Project magazine is specifically for the iPad right now. It's available on the Apple newsstand. And I'd like to, before I go on, this is maybe a little bit of a bragging, but I'm very proud of this, is we are in Apple's top 10 in the newsstand for the business and investing section, which is huge.
Wow, that is very huge.
Which it just is total, it just tells me that it's resonating with people and it's resonating with our audience and they get it. So we're up there with all of the big boys, and that makes me very, very proud. But I think that the reason is, and going back to what you were saying, Deb, I think the reason why is because we have all of this ability, and we put in interviews, and we put in audio, and the amount of content that we put into a magazine is way, way beyond what you would get in a normal magazine. Like, for example, in this month's issue, in the August issue, we're featuring Grant Cardone on the cover. And Grant is an international sales expert. He's considered by Twitter the second most influential sales expert in the world. And Grant charges upwards of $15,000 and $20,000 to get up and speak for an hour on sales. And in our magazine, not only do we have an article that gives a lot of practical advice that Grant offers, but we have a 45-minute interview with Grant where he's telling us firsthand the kind of things that we need to be doing to improve sales in our business.
Right.
So it's that kind of thing that makes the magazine so immersive and so valuable.
I totally agree. And because those interviews are long, which is great, there's a lot of content there, but I can stop. It's like, okay, I really can't watch the rest of this now, so I can come back to it. Or that stuff was so good, because I am known for having to go back and reread and visit that information again, that it's still right there on my iPad, and I go back and watch the interview again. And you just feel like they're right there in the room with you. So the technology that you use, and you know, you mentioned that there's a lot of other digital magazines out there. I will tell you, though, in the industry that I'm in franchising, I don't think there's anything out there of the quality that you have. A lot of folks have tried to put those digital publications together, and they're missing it. You know, they've got some good content, and they have, you know, a little bit of the quality of the platform, but you've got it all. So how did you do this? I mean, do you come from, you know, how did you pull all this technology together?
You know, that's the beauty of it, right? Number one, I do not have a background in publishing. I've never worked for a publishing company. I have very little experience in publishing. Actually, I have no experience in publishing. As far as the technology experience, I'm an Apple fanboy. I'm a bit techie and geeky, so I love listening to the show. I love what you girls talk about. But that's about it. I mean, I do own an app development company where we develop games and we develop productivity apps and that kind of stuff, but I had never done a magazine before. So one of the challenges in the digital platform is that there weren't too many players in that space, and we wanted to work on a platform that allowed anybody to create a magazine. And that's the beauty of the MagCast platform, where we've created this magazine on. Basically, what it's allowed us to do is, if you can create a PDF document, whether it's on Word or Pages, if you're a Mac user, or PowerPoint or Keynote or InDesign, I mean, basically anything that can output a PDF document, you can upload into the MagCast platform. And from that point forward, it becomes drag and drop. And you can drag and drop videos and links and basically go through the whole process and eventually upload that directly into the Apple Newsstand. Now, this goes way beyond just an app. This is a complete platform that takes you from point A to Z, from how you get your personal Apple development account, which is something that just the training portion of that alone is very valuable, because you can scale that to other things in the future. But we walk you through that entire process, and we help you create a digital magazine, which that is the power of MagCast. It's truly disruptive. It's a game changer because, I mean, like I said, it allows anyone, especially entrepreneurs, the ability to create and distribute their own magazine. And think of the power of that, Deb and AK. Mm-hmm. Think of all the niches that are out there. You know, all the listeners and your audience that's listening that may be in different kinds of businesses, whether they own a particular type of franchise, or they're listening because they're very big social media fans, but they own spas or they own some kind of health food store. You can actually create magazines for each one of these spaces and reach your customers in a very immersive way, in ways that your competitors will never be able to do.
AK, I think he's speaking to you.
Did you see the wheels turning?
I could feel it. I could certainly feel it. So we know
like,
that.
Yes,
that
I do feel like he's talking right to me. I'm like, the wheels are turning, definitely. What can I do to do this?
And I'm sure it will come to you. So anybody that's joining us live now that is a little late to the show, we're talking to Ralph and talking about the Great Business Project and the awesome, just totally awesome digital magazine, The Great Business Project. And I don't know, I'm going to have to write my review for you, because you're only two publications in, I haven't missed anything. You started in July. I have the July and I have the August. So I'm just waiting for that September issue to come out. And already you've got, you know, very high rankings with Apple and your customers.
It's been amazing, and that's why I say, you know, we are resonating with people. We're in the top 10. Every single review we've gotten is a 5-star review, and it's people who we've been able to help out. The first issue featured Mike Michalowicz, who's the author of best-selling author of The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur and The Pumpkin Plan. We had Grant Cardone on the second, and I'll share a little sneak peek here for your audience. Our September issue is going to feature none other than Miss Allie Brown on the cover. And she is the voice for women's entrepreneurial success. And the content that we have together, the interview that we did with her, the article is absolutely wonderful. And the September issue is going to be our biggest issue yet. The amount of content in there is absolutely amazing.
And there is a lot of content. So when you open up a magazine like that, I'm thinking, oh, you know, it'll take me just a few minutes to flip through here. But my husband came out one day, and I think it was the second issue, and he goes, you've been on that treadmill forever. It's like, yeah, I'm not done. And if I get off, because I'm reading it, as I said earlier, I'm reading this digital publication from the iPad as I'm walking on the treadmill, and I just kept hitting more minutes, more minutes, more minutes, more minutes. And he goes, you really knew you need to stop that. It's like, no, that's okay. That's okay. I need to finish. You know, these are great. Oh, it's just very cool.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we got an email from one of our subscribers last week, and I mentioned this on the podcast, and it was amazing. And he basically said that using just one tip that he got out of the first issue, and it happened to be a tip that Mike McCallowitz shared while I was doing the interview with him on video. Using just that one tip, he made an extra $10,000 in 1 week. And he said, that is the power of the content that you have in that magazine. And that made my month, because that's what we want to do.
Absolutely. So let's turn, I can hear AK, she's thinking magazine, digital, so she's going to pop up when we least expect it, because she's putting this digital publication together in her head. I know it. She might be in Baltimore. I might be in Houston. But I know what she's doing here, and I can see a Social Geek Radio digital publication.
That's what we need, a Social Geek Radio magazine.
I'm sure, AK, you know, I don't want to get off on a bunny trail, but if you think of what we could do at the end of the month with all the great guests that we've had through the month, and all the information that they've shared, it could go right in there.
We have some good content.
We've got some great content.
You know, you girls bring up a very good point. And people like to consume media in different ways. Some people like to read. Some people like to see things. Some people like to hear things. And using content, using powerful content that you already have is a great way to put together content for these magazines. You know, one of the things that we do at the Great Business Project is consult people. And now that we have the magazine out and we've figured out what the formula is, we're helping other entrepreneurs and other small businesses establish their own publications and walk them through the process. Not only walk them through the process, but come up with a clearly defined strategy for how they can make their magazine successful, how they can resonate in their marketplaces. Because it goes way beyond just putting together the PDF document. You know, that is the simple part of it. It really is that simple. But it's the strategy behind it. AK, you put up a great post today about social media and engagement and how you do it, and are you just passive or are you really engaging? And it's the same thing with the magazine. I actually think it's no different in that you want to make sure that you're reaching your audience and you're talking to them and giving them what they want, not that you're just sitting there and broadcasting like if you were just doing a one-sided radio show.
Right. Very good.
We have a Twitter question that I am embarrassed to say I do not know the answer to.
Is it the one about listening on the iPad?
Yes. Do you know?
I just saw it. You cannot. So for Blog Talk Radio, because of the iPad and Dana, I know our loyal listener Dana is in the chat room, and he's going to say, ha ha, this is why you don't have an iPad. You shouldn't have an iPad. But you can't listen to Social Geek Radio live. You can certainly pull it up. As far as I know, you cannot listen to it live on the iPad. But wait a minute. You know what? Because I listened to one of the episodes on my iPhone Blog Talk Radio. So, yes, you can. You have to be able to listen to the iPad if I can pull up my iPhone. So we have a listener, obviously, Ralph, that's posting a question. Like, they want to get to the show, but they've got their iPad. I just don't know how to tell them right now how they can do it. But it certainly can be done if I've listened to it on the phone. Let's move, let AK's wheels turn about putting that digital publication together. And why don't we go ahead and let's talk about the great business project itself, which spurred this whole great business project magazine. And one of the things that I picked up on your last, I think it was your very last podcast that you were talking about is, you know, the five pillars to every business. And would you go through, you know, those points and share with the audience what you shared on your podcast? Because I think they're great.
Absolutely. I mean, and that really is the foundation, not only of the Great Business Project, but of any great business. So the reason I came up with these pillars, and I'll get into what they are in a second, is because when I was running my business, way before we sold it, we had gotten to a point where we were stuck. We were stuck at a certain revenue level. At that time, it was $4 million, and we could not get beyond that revenue mark. It didn't matter how many employees we added, how much more we invested in the business. We could not get beyond that. And I had a mentor at the time that said, you know, you really need to focus on your business, and you really need to systemize your business. And he took the time to explain to me what that was. And, you know, at the time, we had, I think, something like 6 or 7 employees, and we had an SOP manual, a standard operating procedures manual. But that covered basically like things like, you know, how to request a day off and how you turn on and off the system and that kind of stuff. That's the normal kind of HR-type manual that most companies have. But I didn't have a manual for running my business. And now, Deb, you'll appreciate this coming from your franchise world, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mentor said, your business, you need to turn your business into a McDonald's. And I'm signaling them out only because that's exactly what came out of his mouth. And I said, I don't understand. I don't run a fast food restaurant. He said, no, but you need to mirror what makes them successful, and that is the systems that they have in place, not only for their back office, but for their entire business. And that was like seeing the light for me because I finally got it. And he shared something really, really important with me, and that is this, and I'd like to share that with your audience before I get into the five pillars. Imagine for a second that you got invited to the opening ceremonies of the Olympics or to the Super Bowl, and
or
gave you
AK. It's like I can see her. Oh, Super Bowl!
And,
go ahead.
And imagine that somebody invited you out onto the middle of the field during these ceremonies and gave you the opportunity to pitch your business for 30 seconds to, in the case of the Olympics, 4 billion people watching worldwide and millions upon millions watching the Super Bowl. You know, chances are you know your business and your services better than anybody in the world. And you can go out and you can pitch your business because you know it like the back of your hand. And what's going to happen is that people are going to get excited about what you have to sell, what you have to offer, and your phone and your company is going to get flooded with the opportunity to handle these new customers. And the unfortunate thing is that for most entrepreneurs and for most business owners, they would have to turn that business away because they couldn't possibly scale their business because they don't have a system in place. You know, when I come in to consult with some companies and I say, could you hire 10 new people tomorrow? How long would it take you to do that? They just sit there and stare at me like I'm an alien from another planet. But if you had a system in place, it would be very easy to do that. And you look at companies like fast food chains, like some of the larger retailers, they're able to take people off the street with little or no experience, and that's not a bad thing. Maybe somebody who just came out of school and doesn't have as much experience as somebody who's been in the workforce for a long time, and they can get them up and running that business, even at a managerial level, fairly quickly, because there's a system in place. So I started to look at my business that way, and I said, okay, so what are the five pillars of my business? Well, there's mindset, there's sales, there's marketing, there's business development, and there's strategy. And that a lot of people say, well, maybe that's too simple. Well, I think it's broad enough where everything falls into one of those. So mindset. I think every entrepreneur, every business person needs to have a very positive mindset. I think you need to be emotionally charged to take on your business or you're never going to succeed. So and that's just not saying, I woke up this morning, I'm going to have a really good day today. No, it's about getting coaching. It's about getting mentoring. It's about the kind of mindset that you put together for the employees at your company and even for your customers, because your mindset permeates every single level of your business. So systemizing that, thinking about how you're going to handle that, how you're going to train your employees, how you're going to help them, how you're going to do it for yourself, that's very important. So that's mindset. Then there's sales. And basically, without sales and revenue, you don't have a business. What you have is a hobby. And, you know, it's funny because in this last issue, Grant Cardone says his famous line in the video is, dude, you need revenue.
Yeah, he does. And I forgot about that. Yeah, the way he said, dude.
That's what he says. He goes, dude, you need revenue. but you need it. It's true. If you don't have money coming into your business, you don't have a business, and it's not going to succeed long term. So you need to think about how you're going to make money. And I wrote not too long ago something, and I said that the money in your pocket is directly proportional to how much you pitch. So if you're not making it a point to go out and pitch something every day, you're losing money. And that's something important to consider. And if you had that systemized, you'd know that part of your system was either yourself or one of somebody on your team coming in and selling every single day. Marketing, I don't have to go into much detail because you girls are the experts. But having a marketing system, and again, going back to AK's article today, very, very important to have a system in place where you can engage your customers on a regular basis, whether it's online, whether it's offline, whether it's through social media, whether it's through print, through PR, whatever it is that you do to market, whether it's lead generation, have a system in place for that. How do you gather leads? What do you do when they come in? Who enters them? Who handles them? Whose responsibility is it? How do you follow up? If somebody says no, do you put them in a tickler file? All of those things are really, really important. Business development is really the back office stuff. That's the accounting, the system, the finance, the administration. And this is one of my favorites because the business development is what helped me to scale my business. Because as soon as I took the time, and every entrepreneur says, well, I don't have time to sit down and do that. I promise you, you guys, if you sit down and take a little bit of time each day and pick one thing out of your business and systemize that, whether it's the easiest thing or the next easiest thing, and then the harder things, eventually. It took me 60 days to do it, of doing nothing but doing that. But it was the most incredible thing I was able to do for my business. And basically, that's what it allowed me to take that business to $35 million in revenue. We did it through systemization. And then finally, there's strategy, right? And strategy is where you're going long term. I think organic growth sucks. And, you know, I get a lot of heat for that because people go, well, no, organic growth is part of business. Organic growth is part of business, and you're always going to grow your business somehow, some way, year over year. But what I mean by that is if you don't have a plan for that growth, it's like growing weeds in your garden. Everything will be overgrown. You'll find that you're not focused. In my case, in my own business, what I found was that I wasn't serving the customers that I should be serving. I was serving anybody who came through my door. If somebody had a need, in that case, that business that we were running was helping establish distribution in Latin America. If somebody had that need, we'd service them. And it wasn't until we really nicheified our business and our space and we started doing professional and consumer audio and video in that space that the business was really able to take off. So those are the five pillars: mindset, sales, marketing, business development, and strategy.
That's a lot. That's a lot. You did it quite well. I was just like trying to mentally take all these notes and watching AK tweet all your little tips or all your great tips. They're wonderful. But it's entrepreneurs. That's a lot for entrepreneurs to be thinking about. You know, each one of those pillars. So if you were to ask them, you know, which one should they be focusing on? And I know this with franchisees all the time. They'll say, that's great, Deb. These are five things I need to do. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to look at me and they're going to go, which one do I do first?
I would say, can I pick one or can I pick two?
Well, a franchisee will say, which one do I do first? And if you need, maybe your response is they need to work on two.
I actually think you need to work on two things. One is really define your core customer and what your space is to prevent the organic, the wild organic growth. You know, in my case, and I'll give you a concrete example. We were helping businesses establish themselves in Latin America. I actually thought that was fairly niche because I wasn't saying that I was handling sales and marketing or distribution for people around the world. I had a particular region. But what I didn't realize was that I could take that a level further down and become specialized in dealing with one or two specific customers. And it was when we did that that our business really started to grow. Then we got into systemizing, because it's very difficult to systemize without knowing who you're serving. Because a lot of the systemization comes down to asking yourself, what is it that that particular customer needs? So I would say, number one, define your core audience and know them like the back of your hand. Keep a picture of them in your wallet. I keep a picture of or a representative picture of who my core customer is on my iPhone. So some people may think I'm crazy, but I look at them. I know what they drive. I know what they eat. I know what they like. I know what they read. I know how they think. Because in order to speak to them and market to them and sell to them and serve them and give them the valuable content that they need, I need to know that person intimately.
I have never heard that piece of advice before. I love that.
That to me is the most important thing you can do as a business owner. So that's my number one. Know your customer like the back of your hand. Create an avatar of them. You know, and here's the interesting thing, that you'll learn so much about your customer. So let's say that you sell, luxury clothing, right? I'm just using that as an example for men. So who's your typical customer? It may be a man. He's maybe 35 to 45. He's got two kids. He's got a dog. He lives in a nice suburban home. He may drive a Volvo SUV or maybe a Mercedes E350. He likes to eat at restaurants a couple times a week. He's probably a corporate executive whose wife stays home minding the kids. He may travel some, so his preference for airlines is usually traveling business class. And he likes eating sushi, and he likes drinking scotch, right? Well, if he likes drinking scotch, well, he may enjoy a cigar. So the reason I'm saying that is because it starts to broaden your horizons as to where you can reach this audience, right? So all of a sudden now I can go and say, well, if my target customer likes cigars, maybe I can go to a cigar forum or do some kind of advertising or some kind of joint venture with a cigar publication or some kind of promotion where I send them a box of cigars. And all of a sudden, now you're interacting with that customer. Yeah, remember, you're selling luxury clothing, but you're talking to them on their level. And they will be hooked. They'll be customers for life.
And I think you've just really hit on one of the, I guess, one of the weaknesses of entrepreneurs or small business owners is I don't know that they've taken enough time to really understand who their core market is, who their core buyer is, client is. And I think by all this that you've offered and taking this advice, and of course you speak our lingo, but have an avatar of that person. I think if they really drill down a little bit deeper than to what they've usually done, because I'll talk to franchisees all the time, but what's your profile of your prospect? I get these little wishy-washy kind of things. To me, if they really drill down to and take some of the advice that you've offered, they'll understand their core audience a lot better and then be able to engage with them a lot better, as AK was talking about earlier in her post today.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Wow, I'm really thinking, and of course there's a lot that I need to pick up on and do on my own. So I'm trying to watch the clock and watch all these tweets. And we have a listener that joined us a little late via the phone and said, even though I'm late, this is great. I'm going back and I'm listening to all the recordings. So very good information, Ralph. Let me ask you this. I mean, all this great advice that you've given us, it's all been just so good. I bet you've got one final takeaway that you could share with the audience before we let you go.
Absolutely. And that's take massive action. Take massive action and make your own luck. You can achieve anything you want as an entrepreneur if you surround yourself with the right people. You do it every single day. And seriously, I mean, in the spirit of taking massive action, go out and create your customer avatar. That's going to start the ball rolling for you, and it's going to make all of the difference of the all of the difference in the world. And if you take action every day and you stay consistent, you know, in just a short amount of time, it's going to snowball and you're going to be unstoppable.
Very good. And I'd love to see some of those avatars that everybody creates and share them with us on our Social Geek Radio Facebook page, wouldn't you, AK?
Oh, yeah.
So, Ralph, give us all of your contact information, because I would love for people to check out your magazine, go to your Facebook page, all of that great stuff. How can they connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I'd like to do is offer your audience a little special, a little bonus. The MatCast platform is going to be live here pretty soon. It's not live yet, but it will be very live soon for the general public. But what I'd like to do is offer you girls, since you've been so great in putting me on the show and chatting with me today, I'd love to offer your audience an opportunity to get pre-access before we introduce it to everybody on our site. So we've set up a special link where people can go and leave their name and email address, and they will be granted access to the MatCast system once it's ready and they can see what it's all about. Before everybody else does. And we've set that up at www.thegreatbusinessproject.com/MagCast. That's MAGCAST. So go ahead and anybody who's listening who wants to have pre-access to this when it is ready to the platform, you can go ahead and leave us your information there. And then anybody who wants to see the magazine, same, it's thegreatbusinessproject.com/mag. That'll take you straight to the magazine, and you can see what Deb and AK have been talking about and see some of those great articles. The website, thegreatbusinessproject.com, that's where we give out a ton of advice to help your business out, including stuff like what we talked about today, the avatars and that kind of thing. And if you're looking for more help and you think that we may be the right fit for you to help you out, you can reach out to us there too. On Twitter, I'm at Ralph Quintero, and you girls have been tweeting, so if they follow you, they'll be following me, I hope. And everything I've set up, if I've learned everything, is to keep my identity the same across all my social media platforms. So it's everything, everywhere, every one of them, it's Ralph Quintero.
Very good. Yes, and your podcast, I recommend anybody, when they see your podcast, to pop on and listen to them, because they've been wonderful. Like I said, I am a raving fan of the magazine. Can't wait for the September issue. I will tell you, too, in August, I kept looking at my calendar going, that issue must be out yet. It must be out. So, it's not there yet. I keep going, where is it? So it usually comes out, or September will be out about, what's the date?
We will be hitting September 1st.
Okay.
We hit August 2nd this year. There was a little Apple delay, so it came out August 2nd. But we will hit September 1st, and that's when we publish. We publish the first of every single month.
Terrific. Well, I'm waiting for the next issue. Ralph, you've been awesome. So you can hang with us as we do AK's Geek It Out segment. But if you have to scoot and go walk on the beach and have a cigar, I certainly understand.
I would love to hang. I'm dying to hear Geek It Out.
Well, just hang on, and we've got to play our geeky song. Oops, I hit the wrong one, AK. We'll bring back memory since BJ's listening. I don't think it's going to stop. Here we go. Okay. Which is an old song. All right. So my fingers are on my keyboard and ready to geek it out. Where are we going?
All right. Let's go to the one that you got me hooked on this week, which is fakers.statuspeople.com.
Yes, I did create a monster. And I would tell you, I saw that on Facebook by Prosperity Gal. She had posted it. And I think you said maybe BJ has shared it before, or I've seen it before, but I don't know. But I know you were hooked.
Yes. So you go to fakers.statuspeople.com, and you first hook up your own Twitter. So it will tell you how many of your Twitter followers are either fake or inactive or good, as whoever has developed the site has determined through whatever algorithm they are using. And then once you do that, the fun part comes in where you can then put in the Twitter handles of anybody else and see how many fake followers they have, which essentially means they probably at some point paid for one of those services that says we'll give you 10,000 Twitter followers or so on and so forth. So I think you send this to me on like Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I have probably done this about 50 times to people I had suspected may have had inflated Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And I must say, I was either not surprised at some or very surprised at some others. But I am quite, Deb has turned me into the fake follower monster.
Yeah. And it's very disappointing because you look to see how many followers somebody that you believe you respect on Twitter, and then you find that it's not true. So it goes back to those quality engagements and it's sad. But yeah.
But there are again some people who I look at and I'm like, really? How did they get so many followers?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't think that they're really awesome, but I'm like, really, you know, and then I plug them in. I'm like, it kind of made me feel better because I'm like, okay, well, they were fake followers. You know, I don't feel like it's a failure on Twitter. Anywho.
Yeah,
on
and
that
it,
note,
it does validate ours, so.
Yes. So it makes us feel better that we are legit and we have worked the hard way for our followers.
Yeah.
But on that note, I want to mention it while we're talking about Twitter and following and so forth, that we have a new Twitter list that our listeners can subscribe to, that I believe I have captured the Twitter handles of all of our past guests, even including Ralph, up until this point. So if you go to twitter.com/akscout18/social-geek-radio-guest or just go to Deb's Twitter or my Twitter and go under list, or go to our Facebook page, Social Geek Radio. We have it posted there. You can subscribe to this list and you can keep up with what all of our past guests and guests that we're adding as we come up are doing on Twitter. And that would be really fun for you to continue to engage with them. Just a little plug for our guests.
I like that list, and I don't know how you put that together as quickly as you did the other day, but that's why you're the true geek, because you sent me a tweet. I think I'm going to put this list together, and next thing you know, here's a copy of the list. It's like, okay, I got it.
I'm very, very good at stalking people online.
Yeah. You know,
all I need is a name, and I can find you if you're on Twitter.
We have, I just received a text question for this Geek It Out portion, and I was telling you earlier, I think it was today or yesterday, that Pinterest for the iPad and the iPhone has updated, and I know the Android Pinterest is now out, but it seems like one of our loyal listeners is having a problem, and I don't know if we can help her, that the Pinterest app won't let her stay logged in. She has to go in and log in each time. And I didn't realize that until earlier today. When I went in, I had to log in, but I thought it was because of the update. But when I went to Pinterest a second time today, I had to log in again. Have you seen that happening with the Android?
You know, it has not happened on the Android where I have to log out and log in. The one problem that's really irritating me with the Android app is that it keeps crashing. So even when it crashes and I get logged out, or I don't get logged out, I just get kicked out and go back in, I don't have to log back in again.
Okay.
I'm assuming they're just working out bugs, I guess.
Yeah, and their update is really cool. And now that we're talking about updates, Clout updated this week, and I know you
saw it
first. So what do you think about the new update with Clout?
I really don't know how they updated. What I read was that they went from measuring some 100 type of points on some sort of metric system to measuring some 400 type of engagement points, so that they recalculated everybody's score. The only thing I cared about was that my score went up because I have struggled to break the 60-point mark for so long. And I just, I read everybody's blog posts on how to increase your clout, and yada, yada, and I feel like I'm doing these things and it wouldn't budge. So whatever they recalculated with, I agree with this, the measurements. But, yeah, they have a whole new layout now, and I know they're working on incorporating some new networks that you can hook up to. Apparently Wikipedia is on the horizon, even though it's not even listed on their site right now. So if, and I don't do this ever, but apparently if you are one of those people who go in and sort of help update Wikipedia articles, that's going to eventually help your clout. A lot of things there.
I'm with you on the 60s. They even gave us a little badge and a little thing that you could put on Facebook. Yay, I finally hit the 60s on clout. So
yeah, I'm hoping they come out with better perks, because I do like the perks that I've gotten, but, I it would be nice to have something fancy, like a car, you know, just saying, clout. Just saying.
Ralph can help us with that, I'm sure. Okay. He's got a good cloud score, too. So, okay, AK, I sent you off on a trail, but we had some questions. So, what do we have next?
Okay, one I have is called twee-q.com, which is twee-q.com. I'm going to put that in the chat room, and I'll tweet it out in a little bit. This one tells you how many retweets that, what is it? I don't know if it's you retweet or are retweeted by you. I think it's that you retweet. It's supposed to tell you if you're sexist or not. How many of your retweets are from females, and how many that you retweet are from males, and how many that you retweet are from females.
Huh.
So you hook up your Twitter, and then it gives you a little score, and it will tell you if you are equal or not so much. I don't really know what it means. I don't know how important that is. But
I don't know. Of course, you look at their headline right there. Do you think about sex on Twitter? It's like, what? Where did AK send me?
I don't know why it said that. It didn't say that the other day, but I just hooked it up again, and I have retweeted 51% men and 49% women, which gives me a tweet queue of 9.6. So, again, I have no idea what the importance of that is. I just thought it was mildly interesting.
Okay.
So, lots of Twitter tonight.
And I will say, and I'm going to, so anybody that's listening and they're in the chat, and yes, we did have somebody a little strange just join our chat, and I've done my best to try to kick them out. So if you join Social Geek Radio, and if you're not appropriate, we will do our best to silence you.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's what happens. You know, you just have some of this. So we've got a little bit less than 2 minutes.
Right.
Do we have time for one more?
All right, I have one more. This one's followerwonk.com, followerwonk.com, putting it into the chat room now. This one has many, many features, again, for Twitter. However, one of the neat features that I like to use it for is to find people to follow via their Twitter bios. So if you want to, as Ralph was talking about a lot and something I mentioned in my blog post today, find people who are amongst your target audience, whether it's by geographic location or certain keywords they may have put into their bios describing themselves. You can use a variety of different qualifiers to search for Twitter users using follower wonk.
Very cool. Okay, and our Blog Talk Radio operator is telling us that we've got to wrap things up. Ralph, I know you're still on the line. Thank you so much for joining us. Just great content that you've offered and shared with us tonight.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on the show. I had a lot of fun. You girls are great. I'm a huge fan, so being on the show has been great. And I'm looking forward to working with you girls and hearing more Social Geek Radio. Plus, I'm like dancing to the song now, so I'm hooked.
You can actually download that if you'd like. So everybody should visit our Facebook page, and you can find the music there. And we will see and hear everyone next week. Thank you. And, AK, thanks so much for great Geekin' Out sites and your blog posts. We've got to go back to your blog post again today.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
So show me.